cloudy and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and a dear friend, Kevin Nealon, in here tonight.
Thank you for that, Ronnie.
He's going to be performing at the Brea Improv, the original Improv. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think just because a building was built 33 years later, that it's not the original.
The original car is moving the new building.
Yeah. I think just because one was built, 1966, and the other one was built in the,
late
1998, that it's not the original.
It still has the original golden arches out front.
Right.
That means it's original.
It is the original Brea Improv, and that's where Kevin Nealon will be there on the 28th. Oh, 28th through the 31st. That is it's this weekend, right? What's 31st? Is that Super Bowl? When's the Super Bowl?
Sunday,
what
Saturday,
day is
Sunday?
It? Super Bowl Sunday. Is that the 31st?
I have no idea.
Hey.
Yeah? Yes.
And by the way, they can't
keep... Annis must be back. Somebody screams into my headphones.
Yeah, Annis is great.
Oh, nice voice, Annis.
Voice cracking.
Very nice.
All right. I'm going to lose some money on that Super Bowl. Here's the number.
Yeah, who are you betting on?
Well, I am the cooler.
I know. I understand that.
I'm William Macy's character. I should let everyone know. Here's what I should start doing is I should have a VIG. It's like, listen, everybody, I'm going to take the pass. So you guys take Carolina, but then I'm in for a taste. That's how I make my money.
In for a taste. Is that like gambling talk?
Yeah. I need to wet my beak. You understand? That would be a great thing because I'm the only guy in the world I know who is lost after getting blackjack playing the name. The name of the game is blackjack. Black got a king and ace dealt to me, and so did the dealer. So we played another hand, and I lost.
You're like me. You probably picked the longest lines to get into.
Yeah.
The slowest moving lines, toll booths, mm-hmm. just know it's going to be the wrong line.
Right. No, I'm cursed. There's no two ways about it.
But yet you're constantly working.
Yeah, no, I have a very
maybe charmed, that's part of being cursed.
Charmed, cursed
like you said,
life.
Yeah, you have no free time now.
No, it's just working late at night.
No, here's the way I look at it with me, and maybe this is just a negative superstition, but everything I don't have control over, I get cornholed on. If we could sit here and flip a coin for 1,000 years, I lose every time.
Yeah.
If I could have some involvement with it, I could change it.
I'm the same way.
I'll make my own luck and everything will be fine.
Yes, yes.
If I leave it up to somebody else,
it goes the wrong
rarely
way.
Works
yeah,
out.
I'm the same way.
So you guys are both like control freaks then?
No.
Because you want to take control of things.
But if I don't, I know it's going to go sour.
See, I don't even have to be a therapist to know that. You guys like to have, you like to take control of the situation at all times.
Well.
And when you don't, you start getting pissed because you know it's not going to go right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it went right, I'd gladly give it up.
We curse ourselves, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know your types.
Mm-hmm.
Your type C personality.
What are the types, by the way, Drew?
That's all worthless.
Type A is that short for a-hole?
Yeah.
Because I don't like this.
Type A
people.
Means it's good to eat there. It's very clean.
Yes. Compulsive.
What are you going to be doing at the Brea Improv?
Well, Adam, I'm glad you asked me that.
Yeah. Good.
What I'm going to be doing is some stand-up comedy. It's something that I started doing before I was on Saturday Night Live. It's something I did during and something I continue to do, and it's where my livelihood is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very funny young man,
yep.
And people seem to be happy when they come and see me, and they seem to be happy when they leave.
Kevin still, to me, did my very favorite SNL skit was with Harvey Keitel in the men's room.
My favorite one, too.
That was
bathroom attendant.
So goddamn funny.
And after I did that, Madonna was the singer on that week. We were all saying goodbyes, and she kind of came over to me and goes, "You could be my bathroom attendant anytime."
Really?
Yeah, in that voice. Yeah.
You could have given it to Madonna?
Well, I could have been her bathroom attendant.
Give her some toilet, some TP when she was having a poop.
Papers, cologne.
Drew came in talking about that bit. I don't know, they must have rerun it.
Yeah, I've seen it many times.
Recently, but go ahead.
But Harvey Keitel's sitting on the can in one of these like hotel bathrooms, basically. There's all those guys standing by the mirror with the chains in the dish. Well, this crapper had no walls in it. It was all just one room. And so there's Kevin Nealon standing there right next to him while he took a dump and handing him, offering him toilet paper.
It was just
folding
a small,
it up for him.
Just a small bathroom, like 4 feet by 4 feet with a toilet and a sink.
So funny. And imagine Harvey Keitel, right?
He couldn't stop laughing. He had to use a newspaper to hide him. You could see the thing shaking.
How many?
And he really took a crap, too.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's a, I wish
little,
I'd been there.
Trivia.
Yeah, that's theater. Yeah, that, had to be in the theater. Appreciate
the
that.
Yeah.
Not the well, whether he did or not.
Right.
So
good
he's
point.
Still, he's still
touché.
Unloaded. Yeah.
Good point.
It was a honey bucket
under
the toilet.
He's a method actor. What do you expect?
I wonder, there must be more disease caused in those bathrooms that have the attendants because people don't want to wash their hands because they want to avoid the tip.
Right.
You're asking people not to wash their hands.
Or to run
people,
out.
People like me and Drew, and I suspect Kevin as well.
Well, here's my theory on that, and I was thinking about that today as I walked, as I came out of the bathroom at the airport. The amount of things that you have to touch, I mean, you're touching yourself, basically, when you go to the bathroom.
These days, you don't touch anything.
Yeah.
Everything's
right.
automated. You touch maybe yourself. You touch your zipper.
Right. You know what? They even have those toilets now that spray water up there.
You well, don't have to he has that at home.
Do you really?
I got the seat.
Heated seat?
Yeah. I got
$5,000, right?
No. No, it was a gift from Jimmy Kimmel and Daniel Kellison, one of the executive producers of The Man Show. And,
well, explain why it's such an important instrument for you.
My ass is...
you got IBS, right?
No, he's got fur.
He
doesn't have skin. He's got
I got a fair amount of hair down
Does
there.
Does that go up your back, too?
Oh.
No.
Well... Halfway.
It just stops
stops
at your waistline.
Yeah.
That,
like,
I've
like
never seen that before. Scent,
well, you're going to see it tonight.
Half man, half goat kind of thing.
You'll be my bathroom attendant. I'll show it to you tonight. But look.
Anyway, did you ever shave it?
Here's the point. It's been done. It's been done. No, it's not as bad as Drew makes it out.
Well, the point is, swiping toilet paper through that is like using it to clean shag carpet.
How dare you?
All right, so we go to the toilet seat. You have that.
The point is, a spritz of water up the tukai is a very enjoyable endeavor. It feels good to get it. You know what's nice? I'll tell you what it's nice for. When you take a long shower, look at me, Kevin. When you take
I'm telling you, I don't need to look at you. I listen to you on the car radio. I never look at
do
you.
Do that thing with your hands where you're
okay, I'm
that.
I'm driving here.
All right.
Here's the thing.
You take a long shower, and you realize once you step out of the shower, you got to go number two. Then you take the dump, and you're feeling like, well, now I've only taken half a shower.
Get back in the
just
shower.
Taking a duke. This is when the spraying toilet seat comes in. The problem with the spraying toilet seat is it really looks like something from a medical supply store.
Yeah.
And anyone who sees it at your house, they make a comment. It's usually this comment. It's sort of like, oh, did your grandmother stay with you?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
Tactically. They see it. They see old ass.
Yeah.
You see something with a hose and a keypad and that sort of weird flesh color and a hand railing, and you're going, old ass.
Yeah.
Old ass. I took a whiz at my grandmother's sort of extendo toilet.
Oh, yeah, with the big giant hole.
Yeah, yes,
big glory hole.
The funnel of love.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm sort of looking at it, and I'm thinking, let's see, do I have to put the seat up? And then if I do, I'm still kind of whizzing on the funnel part. And then I'm thinking, if that was my place, that funnel would be a disaster.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, I mean,
claw closed.
Yeah, you have to use like a pool cue to get it cleaned out like every day, yeah.
Let me ask you something about your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
What is the flush capacity? How many gallons?
I think 1.8 is whatever the...
Is it do the job?
Well, I am...
What are your stools like, first of all?
They're...
Healthy.
They're assertive without being pushy.
Not solid?
They have a nutty, fruity bouquet. here's the deal.
So look, 1.8 will do it.
Mr. Hanky, yes.
1.8 will do it for me. I am a huge fan, everybody, of the courtesy flush.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but when you're in a public restroom especially, or when you're just in a place where you don't want anyone to know about it, you just basically, as the Duke is going, time the flush and get the first flush, gets rid of everything.
The first wave, right.
And the second one is just a little
clean
mop up.
Yeah. Clean up.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's the Harvey Keitel slot. Clean up. Well,
right.
I was just going to say that, you know, when you go to the bathroom in a public place, it's almost more germ collective, friendly to use the sink and the faucets and open up the door.
I agree with you. That's when you reach for the door at the end of the whole procedure, that's where all the germs are.
That's where the people that didn't wash their hands are opening it.
Or whatever, with the flus and the whatever, and the, so, all they've touched is themselves, and now they're touching the door handle.
So unless you pee in yourself, I don't think you should touch anything
but
in the
bathroom. But pee is sterile.
Yeah.
Pee is completely sterile.
My pee is so dirty.
It comes out, it's like Calcutta river water.
No, it's Calcutta. It's got like styrofoam floating in it.
It's
you know,
syringes.
Fish, candy wrappers.
It's like one of those school films from the 70s. Yeah. Indians crying. Smokestacks billowing by the balls. It's a disaster. Get that foam. Once in a while, I do have a very foamy urination. I'm always sort of impressed by it and curious. Where's that come from?
That's from Guinness. You drink Guinness?
Oh, is that? Will that do it?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to try.
My urine sometimes will be a little yellow in color. Is that bad?
That's fine. We're concentrated.
It's a very important thing.
Yellow and clear sometimes.
The bubbles are what concern me because that could be a sign of like a vesiculorectal fistula or something.
I think it's more. I think it's
are you peeing out
velocity.
Of the ass?
It could be.
No, I think it's just more pure velocity.
I see.
And sometimes there's a little soap in that left in the sink.
Time for commercial.
All right. We got to take some calls.
Yeah. How about
Let me just say this really quickly.
Really quick. Yes.
Psychologically, I find it interesting about the bathroom attendant, which is. It doesn't matter how much money I make, there's something about me that sees a guy wanting money and wants me to put my head down and walk past him very quickly. It's instinct, and it comes out never stronger than at the strip club, where I will be sitting there for hours on end, you know, balling up 20s, making them into origami swans and gliders and trying to throw them in the asses of hookers and throwing them at my friends and buying like $30 mini bottles of champagne. Just dropped $866 in there, going to the bathroom. The poor Jamaican guy wants to give me a mint. It's like $2, like, F you, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
But if you showed a little skin, you might give him something.
Just a little ass crack, and I think we could do business. It's just funny that I've been balling up 20s and trying to throw them into cleavage for the last 4 hours, and this guy doesn't get 50 cents. No, you got to prioritize. Yes,
you're a humanist, yeah. What can I say?
Thank you.
Humanitarian.
Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I had some questions about herpes.
All right, here we go.
Okay, if I don't have any sores and he goes down on me, like, can he get it? Like, you know how sometimes you get it around your mouth and stuff?
So you know that you have herpes?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm planning on going on Saturday.
What's that mean? Do you have it or not?
Well, they can't tell you unless you actually have an outbreak, okay?
They can't?
Okay.
No, it's really hard to tell. That's the predictive value of the blood tests are really pretty bad.
This is where my dogs come in.
You're sniffing dogs. You're
dogs
herpes sniffing
tell. Dogs. Dogs would know.
Can't they do like a swab or something?
They can do a swab, but you may not always be producing virus. The only really reliable way to do it is if you see something that looks like herpes, you think it is, they swab it, and that confirms it. Yeah. So you go in there with everything clean, and that's going to be kind of a difficult diagnosis to make. And, yeah, if you do have it, whether or not you have an outbreak, somebody puts their penis or their mouth down there, yes, you can give it to him or her.
And okay. That's good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. But there was a study that just came out a couple weeks ago that showed if you do think you have herpes or if you've confirmed in having it and you take once a day antiviral medication, this particular study was done with Valtrex, you can substantially reduce the risk of transmitting it.
I've seen the commercials. Chicks kickboxing.
And they'll start kickboxing.
Kickboxing. That's the other thing. A lot of training, a lot of kickboxing. No TV watching. Yeah,
Kevin's not impressed.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just saying, you ever see those herpes medication commercials? Always chicks taking control, like karate chopping, kickboxing, working out, always running.
Yeah.
A lot of running.
They're toughening up. They're overcoming.
Right.
Never blowing some Shriner who blew into town. You know, it's like, what you really should be doing is having sex with a strange guy. Shouldn't you?
To really show your empowerment?
Yeah, it's like, hey, this medication works so good, I'm just going to randomly yank a guy out of the subway and F him on a park bench. That's how good this works.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That'd be turning women into men.
Well, I'm just saying, instead of doing Tai Chi with Sting, maybe you should be having sex with your boyfriend, unprotected sex, like showing the condom still in the wrapper on the nightstand in the foreground while you're riding on top of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With confidence.
It's kind of like those commercials where they had the sanitary napkins, where you could ride a horse, you could do all that stuff, you know?
And
they didn't even talk about the sanitary
napkins. Adam, once again,
really
when you're showing people, when you're showing the jack-off, the people having sex moves, you don't actually have to act it out for us. Yeah,
I know.
No, it's okay. No, your words are very descriptive. I get it.
Right.
And the viewers can't see you humping the table.
But,
here.
You know, like, if I started talking about pie, how you would start salivating.
Yeah, yeah.
You start talking about... If I start talking about jacking on, my hand starts moving.
How did this happen? I bear witness. As God is my witness, that's in fact what happens. Manny, 18.
Manny, yeah.
Yeah, I had a question to Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
It's about cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Vegas, and I had a quarter ounce of cocaine, and I did a bunch. I did probably like a little less than half.
Yeah.
But my heart started racing really fast, and my whole left side went numb.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know why it did that.
It's good stuff.
Did it stay numb for a long time?
Yeah, I used it for a long time. I used it since I was...
No, how long did the left side numbness last?
Never know what you're talking about.
I know.
It lasted about, like, 4 or 5 hours.
Were you weak on that side also? Could you walk?
No, every time I stood up, my heart hurt. Under my pit hurt. Just my whole left side.
Well, man, I do suggest you get a medical evaluation.
Stroke.
Yeah, here's the deal with cocaine. Most likely to cause a seizure, likely to cause a stroke, likely to cause a heart attack. And you may have had any combination of those things of what you're describing. The left-sided weakness usually is caused by a deficiency of blood supply to the right side of the brain in the probably motor and sensory area, which is what a stroke is. But for the grace of God, the blood supply returned in your case, and now you're okay. One of the reasons you get a stroke is you have a big heart attack, a clot forms in the inner surface of the heart, and then migrates to the head. I mean, that might have been what
migrates?
Happened.
Are you saying that he should not continue to do cocaine?
That's not what I heard.
I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh.
But, yeah, and the other thing is maybe deal with your addictive disease. But before that, I think we got to deal with the medical problems. It's very common to damage the inner surface of the heart, the valve, and strokes and seizure and intracranial bleeding, too.
How much for a gram these days?
He's dead.
Manny?
For a gram? I don't know, really.
You never bought anything so small. What are you talking about?
The quarter ounce cost me $300.
Quarter ounce, is that 2 8-balls? Is it an 8-ball an 1/8 ounce?
Yeah.
Can you still get a lot of women if you have cocaine?
No.
I don't know. I think it's too cheap.
You know, you can't because it doesn't get hard. It sucks.
Your peanuts didn't get hurt.
Oh, I see. Now, you're telling me $300 for a quarter, which is 2 8-balls.
Kind of.
Yes.
All right. And it's like 3.5, 3.8 grams per 8-ball or something like that.
I really wouldn't know. Grams. I'm sorry, Adam.
All right, buddy.
I'm a math major.
I had a second question.
Yep.
About nutmeg. I just heard it gets you high. Is that true?
Yeah, nutmeg will cause a large dose of nutmeg will cause a hallucination.
Not as good as the coke, by the way.
Morning glory seeds. There are other things, but all hallucinations, all substances that caused hallucinations as a result of the direct effect seem to have brain damaging properties through something we call excitotoxicity.
You know what's nice? A little fresh nutmeg grated on some eggnog.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah,
underrated.
No,
kids today don't know about it.
Nutmeg is good on everything. People don't know that.
People don't know about nutmeg.
No.
Nutmeg needs to get a publicist.
Needs to go like at the Starbucks by the chocolate or something. You know, a little bit
someone
on top
needs
of
to it. Do something with nutmeg.
Isn't there a nutmeg state? Is
there
that Connecticut?
Be.
Vermont?
I think
New Hampshire
it is.
Or something like that. It's not Connecticut.
It's Arizona.
It? I'm looking it up.
Nutmeg state.
Yeah. It's got to be somewhere cold. Find the nutmeg state.
I think it's New England. That's New England.
Somewhere in there.
And let's get a board going like they did with eggs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nutmeg board or milk.
Yeah, eggs.
Nutmeg is something for everybody.
Eggs, great campaign. The incredible edible eggs. Like, really, you want to underline edible in your food, huh? As if that's a big selling point. Like, edible. Now I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, but you remember it.
That's true.
There you go.
And then there were eggs. Give them a break.
Like that.
Yeah. I give it a 6. All right. Let's talk to. I gotta get into coke after the break. How cheap?
Right now, start
is
to callers.
How cheap is coke? By
it's
the
down.
Way,
yeah, it's down. Well, it's got to compete with speed, which is becoming very popular.
When I was making $7 an hour, it was like $140 a gram. Now I'm literally a millionaire, and it's like $25 a gram, which would, in the equivalent, be like 50 cents for me. I gotta get into.
They
coke.
Give it in gift bags now.
Baskets.
Baskets. The Grammys. It's all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why they call it the Grammys. Amy?
Yes.
You get a scooter and a Walkman and an 8-ball.
Yeah.
Sounds like
what's
a
up,
weekend.
Amy? Yeah.
No. You guys are hilarious. Anyway.
Great.
So my question, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Drew, I was wondering, is you know, there's got to be some kind of way for me to distinguish between this really high sex drive that I have, if it's normal, if it's, you know, I'm young, if it has anything to do with the fact that I have a child, or if it doesn't have anything to do with that, and I'm just not normal.
All right, hold on. Let's examine it a little bit. Having the child would not be something that would be associated with this. In fact, usually after a child, sex drive kind of drops off.
Yeah, but how old is the kid?
She'll be 5 in April, so she's almost...
All right, so you got pregnant when you were 15, which suggests that you're...
I said more of the lifestyle.
Yeah, very sexually active early, and so...
Abuse. That,
yeah, my thought process immediately goes to sexual addiction, sexual compulsivity, which means trauma in childhood.
Yes.
Were you sexually abused or physically abused in childhood?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. The other flip side of that is bipolar illness. Now, have you ever had manic depression in your family?
My sister is supposedly bipolar, but that's not been confirmed to me, so...
All right, well, obviously somebody who knows what they're doing has given her that diagnosis, and yeah. That means it's in your family.
It's always a subtle F you when the family members don't buy, whatever.
I know.
She says she has Epstein-Barr virus, but I know Connie's no count. You know, I like when the family doesn't buy your diagnosis, and they're right, you shouldn't.
Well,
but
it's just a good F you. Her admitting to it has nothing to do with whether she has it or not.
Well, that's not my problem anyway. My problem...
But Amy, hypersexuality is a sign of bipolar illness.
Ooh.
Really? But I mean, wouldn't I notice other side effects? You know,
maybe.
Why can't somebody just be?
Yeah, true.
Hypersexual.
That's right.
Why does it have to be a sickness?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but when it creates problems because I can't
that's
on
the point.
These urges, then it's kind of a frustrating.
Why can't you be hypersexual and have problems and it not be a sickness?
Do you have a husband?
No, I don't.
You have a boy? Where's the guy who sired the kid?
He was 3 hours away.
For instance, like the Samantha in Sex and the City, that person does not exist in nature.
No.
That is an abuse survivor who is miserable. I mean, I treat them all the time, and they're the most wretched creatures. Yeah. They're miserable.
It's too bad Kim Cattrall actually exists, too, you know, if you really think about it. Hey, listen, Amy.
Yes.
I'm not sure why you were pregnant at 15 or 16.
Uh-huh.
Where are your parents?
As far as the family goes, there's alcoholism. You know, people say depression is genetic. I'm not sure if that's
About the alcoholism? So who was alcoholic?
The mom and the dad.
So were they around when you were growing up? Were they part of your life?
Yeah, they're alive. And they were
kind of around.
I like
what she calls them, the mom and the dad.
You know, everybody's got a story to tell. Everybody's got some dysfunction. Mine has
No, Amy, no. Yes. Not everybody, but what is yours?
Okay, well, they're alcoholics.
And were they abusive?
No, they weren't abusive to me. My mom was physically abusive to one of my sisters at one point. But
all right. Well, this is like...
Were they violent to each other?
I'm sorry?
Were they violent towards each other?
The parents?
The parents.
Yes, the parents.
Who the alleged
parents. Who have we been talking about for the last 20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it wasn't 20 minutes. You're like a girl. You exaggerate.
18 minutes.
So you were exposed to violence in the home. Your sister was physically abused.
Let's break the cycle of white trash. Would you please?
Let's just establish that there was. How old were you when you lost your virginity?
9.
14.
And you had nothing, no sexual contact prior to that?
No.
Yeah, okay. That was a long pause right there.
Okay, hold on. Let me talk because I'm getting mad at Amy because Amy's angry, and I always get angry when someone's angry.
Yeah.
It brings it out in me.
Right.
Amy.
Really, when they're abuse survivors, you become abusive.
Yes, because they bring it out in me. Your family's horrible, okay?
Right.
Okay, fine.
And that creates...
You're angry at them, you're angry at men, you're angry at everybody, fine. You're going to screw your kid up royally. Forget focusing on the sexuality part. Focus on the therapeutic part. You got to get yourself in some therapy and some counseling. Come from a horrible, broken family with alcoholism. Get into Al-Anon.
Al-Anon, are you an addict yourself?
No, I'm not.
Okay, get some Al-Anon.
Get into Al-Anon.
Get a sponsor or get a therapist.
Before you F your kid up anymore and
so
they go off and have some horrible relationship.
You're telling me that because my family...
Yes.
No, we're telling you not to focus on the sex
just
drive.
Go to Al-Anon.
We've unearthed a ton of other more serious material here.
Just go look.
Dr. Drew, let me ask you something. Some people say they're sex addicts,
and
they go to these meetings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it just seems nobody's a sex addict.
You know? You're talking about one.
Uh-oh. I mean, why can't they have a healthy sex drive?
That means
Why can't they just have a healthy sex drive?
Yeah.
It's not defined by what they do. It's defined by the consequences. They have to have... life-altering impact on relationships, finances, legal, health, or work or school.
Let me give
if
you.
If one of their life is continually deteriorating because of the behavior and they can't stop, they're unable to stop.
Why do they blame it on the behavior and not their discipline?
Let me give an example. You're on Saturday Night Live. You're riding out. You got the world by the tail. But you can't lay off the prostitutes that he, she wants. You know what I'm saying? All right,
oh, yes.
Let's go into break with that in mind. Kevin Nealon here. The dear, dear friend Kevin Nealon going to be at the Brea Improv the 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kevin Nealon is here tonight. Going to be at the Brea Improv January 28th through the 31st. That's a Wednesday.
I think it's, is it the 28th or the 29th?
I don't know.
Something like that, the 28th or 29th.
If this says 28th, then it's got to be the 29th.
Wednesday?
Just check your local listings. But Brea Improv, worst case scenario is you go down there a day earlier and you catch a Geechee guy.
Or head over to Disneyland.
Yeah, swing by Knott's Berry Farm, crash for on one of the rides, and then you go... Go watch Kevin over there. Very funny
guy.
Listen, I went on a goddamn cruise ship, and Geechee Guy was the was the stand-up. And Geechee's, I don't know, just an old stand-up comedian, but he has an obsession with roller coasters. You name the state, he names the biggest roller coaster in that state.
Really?
And it's fine, but it's the equivalent of me doing a stand-up set where I talk about remote control model airplanes and construction for an hour and 10 minutes, because, hey, that's my thing. And, you know, when you're out at sea and you're doing three shows a day and you got a bunch of old people and they've already paid you, it's kind of like, listen, F it.
Yeah.
I don't dance for anybody. Okay. Also, they had it was a horrible cruise me and Kimmel went on many years ago. And it was like karaoke night one time. We're like, oh, this is great. All right. So here's how they would do the karaoke thing. You'd go sign up for songs. You'd go sit down and they'd go, is Jimmy Kimmel in the house? Jimmy Kimmel, come on up here, Jimmy. You'd raise your hand. He'd come running up there, and the guy would lean over to you, and he'd go, yeah, we don't have any Huey Lewis, sit down. And you'd go, you'd sit down, you know. But he'd call it like he was calling you up on stage, and after about the third time of them calling you up and then telling you they didn't have a hand, telling you to sit down, just realize that not the best way to run it, probably.
No. I was driving to Vegas once, and I stopped at this this old truck stop in the middle of nowhere, and it was, I guess it was a Chinese restaurant, and in the back, they had a little TV that, and they were doing karaoke, and it was just like maybe one or two Chinese families back there just loving it, watching the TV and singing to it in the middle of nowhere. There's maybe three diners in there. Wow. They do this all day.
What's up, Drew, with the Asian culture?
Did you see Lost in Translation yet?
No, I have not seen that yet.
We ask even more questions.
Super demure, super quiet, lots of bowing, lots of reverence, and then belting out Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar and grinding up rhino horns so they can F a virgin.
Yeah.
Which is it? Which one are you, fellas? Pick one. I prefer the demure bowing one.
Yeah,
that's my thing. But what,
stay with it.
Come out of the nutshell, and they just go crazy.
They must have a lot of high suicide rate.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, Harry Carey.
Yeah, I think so.
That's Japanese.
No, they get a parking ticket. They fall on a knife over there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're really proud. I wish we had more of that. By the way,
it's a lot of denial going on there.
You just wish to the people that issued the parking tickets.
I'd like them to fall on a knife. Yeah, or at least that chalk stick.
Jason.
Yeah, how's it going?
What's happening?
Hey, I just had a quick question about I'm taking antidepressant called Prozac.
Yeah, never heard of that one, but go
ahead.
You
know that one, Drew?
Maybe, yeah.
Look in your book.
Yeah, it's new, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but anyway, I haven't been able to get an erection.
Yeah, that's Prozac. Are you taking more than 20 milligrams? 40?
I think it might be 20 or 40, I'm not sure.
You taking two pills or one?
One.
Okay. And you're taking the once-a-week version of it or the once-a-day version?
The once-a-day, yeah.
All right. Well, Prozac is probably the most powerful at shutting down sex drive in terms of the common side effect that whole class of medicine typically has. More often than not, it's not erectile dysfunction. It's just difficulty having an orgasm.
Is that for girls, too?
for girls, especially worse. Girls, women, they'll even describe that sex looks like weird. Like, ugh, why do people touch? It's like, doesn't make sense. They'll describe themselves as having sort of a feeling of sexlessness.
Yeah.
Men still retain their sexuality, but they just have trouble functioning.
I think I have some Prozac in my semen then. I've had that.
Can you get Prozac with like a mixture of Viagra in it?
Well, we do use Viagra to correct the side effects of Prozac. Yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. What's the other question, Jason?
The other question was, is there going to be long-term effects with this?
Not as far as your sex drive, no.
I mean, like, is me getting an erection? Because I seriously had never had a problem with it before.
Jason, the Prozac will definitely not leave you with a long-term problem with that. And now, good news is, you not only have Viagra, you have Cialis and Levitra to choose from amongst. Levitra is rapid-acting, short-acting. Cialis is long-acting, lasts 72 hours. And then you've got your Viagra, lasts about 4 hours. So,
Cialis, more the name of a sort of moderately priced Toyota than a...
That or like a Solenterate or something, doesn't it? It seems like it should be like a shellfish.
It's not a... Yeah. They have the pasta primavera with the Cialis.
Yeah, right.
Cialis sauce. You want sauce. That pan-seared? We'll do a Cajun for you if you want to do a Cajun. Put it on the side.
I like the term pan-seared.
I do too.
Pan-seared.
Basically, it's fried.
Well, now, are there any long-term effects from Prozac in general?
Well, that's interesting. We don't know for sure. It does not look like adults have any long-term effect, other than if you are depressed, there's some evidence that it actually may turn genes on that reduce the risk of depression recurring. So it may actually change the chemistry of depressed brains in a positive direction. I heard a psychiatrist the other day expressing concerns at the fact that we're using all these SSRIs in young kids and adolescents, and he believed that that might be why we're seeing the increased incidence of bipolar illness, that for creating bipolarity or hypomania, there's sort of a critical period of exposure in the teens, late teens, early 20s, which if you induce these things, you get lifelong mood disorder along the lines of bipolarity. So there's that concern.
Right. Let me say this. I was thinking about kids today, too.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about all these studies of kids being obese and getting fat. And then I realized, because I wore a pair of tight pants into work today, you know, for the fellas, a little something
looking
for the guys
good.
At
looking
the office.
Good.
I'm not saying
any. You got the UGG boots going too?
I'm not saying any of the guys into the Kimmel office today. Here I wore the sweats, but I wore some tight slacks in it. And I'm not saying any of the guys are gay, but they're sexual creatures and they can appreciate.
They work long hours,
man.
Closed
in
a room.
They work with a lot of guys. Yeah. I'll spruce the place up. Yeah. Show, hey, look, if you got it, you flaunt it. But the point is I wore some pants that were a little bit too tight, and I realized I walk around all day feeling, you wear tight pants, you feel fat.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly feeling your gut hanging over the pants, and then when you sit down, it feels like they're going to bust. You
so
know?
Your policy for America is wear tight clothes.
Yes. Because here's the thing. I had like two bites off off a sandwich.
Felt
and
bad.
I was like, holy Christ, I'm a bum. You're a mess. I start crying. Look at you. You're disgusting. I was weeping. The point is this. What's the fashions the kids wear today? They're wearing those goddamn...
Baggy.
Guys,
that's the problem.
They're wearing the triple X T-shirts.
Yes.
The guys are wearing those like baggy
Adam.
Shorts down to the knees with
you're
their ass crack hanging out. I'm taking it a step further.
Oh.
See, no, wait. Let me just say this.
Oh, yeah?
Now, back in the day, gentlemen, when we were running around, kids had to wear like Zeppelin jeans.
Dolphin
and
shorts.
Chemin de fur. That's right. You had to wear a pair of...
Chemin de fur, Ferragamo jeans.
You had to wear a pair of tight disco jeans and like a halter top or a boob tube. What the hell?
Mind you, he's talking about the men.
I'm talking about me. Yeah. No, you had to wear stuff where if you gained 2 pounds, it immediately wrecked your look. Your gut would be slopping over the thing. You'd be a mess. Now you're wearing
high
these...
up in the front jeans.
Yeah, tight front and the back.
Oh, yeah.
You got the camel toe going up front.
But, you know, it's easier now to lose weight because you just get your stomach stapled and that's it. It's a little lipo.
I'm just saying... Here's what I'm suggesting for the kids.
Wear tight
clothes,
instead
of the triple X stuff, the super large stuff, the baggy stuff, superhero outfits.
Oh,
you understand that if you jumped into something with just one zipper in the front that was made out of like Nomex and it was like essentially unitard, you know, nothing but a utility belt and some capizios, you gained 6 ounces, it'd be a big deal. You'd have to look yourself in the mirror every day before you left your house. And you'd give yourself a name, by the way.
Fat man. Then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Lardo.
One problem. And that is that there seems to be some denial slash distortion that, that young people have inherited these days. You see the bare midriffs on the
yeah, you do.
You see a lot of that. Like, what, huh?
Yeah, you do.
The force
you,
and the stuff.
Right, you do see
working.
A little of that, but I'm still convinced that if we had guys especially piling into those unitards,
right,
stuffing the fat ass
it might help the man.
Into the
right.
unitard, snapping on the utility belt or fanny pack, but you couldn't cover yourself up pulling shorts or something up over you, that if you just let's just talk about us, if you had to climb into that thing, and it, but me, it'd be Kelly Green, it'd yeah. be shiny, yeah, would zip
blue,
up the
blue,
front. I
blue
mean
with yellow.
If you got hard nipples, it would immediately show. I mean, like, nothing can be hidden from this thing, right? Every day you got in that thing, you think you're gonna pack on 8 pounds without knowing it?
No.
If I was going to be a superhero, I would call myself Relaxed Fit Man. That way, you could gain a few pounds, but you wouldn't know it.
You, Kevin Nealon, you kid a lot, but I know you believe
I never
what I'm
kid.
Saying. I know. And this is why Jack LaLanne was able to keep his shape
wore that unitard.
Well into his age.
So
always wore that sleeveless with the belt worked in, unitard thing. Always looked fantastic in the stupid dance shoes. Always looks great. Never let himself go.
You're right.
Because of the outfit. Because of the uniform. Let's think about that. And so when they
I'm
start talking
Washington.
About school uniforms,
yes,
start
yes.
talking about school uniforms.
This is the one.
F the
this
tie and the slack.
Star Trek. Yeah.
And that way, if the kid got a boner, we'd know it immediately, too. All right.
Delightful.
No one would get fat in these uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
They put big baggy triple. Come on. Kevin Nealon is in here tonight. He's going to be at the Brea Improv sometime later this week and then into the weekend, most likely.
I think it's Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kevin Nealon in here tonight. Going to be at the Brea Improv Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's going to be there for the next 28 days. And he's not going to leave. And he's going to be doing one of those stunts where he doesn't leave the stage. He's catheterized.
So he's going to start reading Brothers Karamazov.
No, he's doing material.
Adam, do you do stand-up?
No.
You got a lot of good material. You should do stand-up.
I know, but I'm too. Oh, but thank. No, I mean
maybe
thanks.
I'll take. My brother thinks you're the funniest guy around.
Well, he can take my material. What's
maybe
he
I'll,
do?
Maybe I'll take your material.
Well, it's not my material. It's just I'm just talking.
No, the whole fat man thing, the superhero thing.
It's
I'm
yours.
Gonna run with that tomorrow.
Take it.
Okay.
You beat the break. Watch Kevin doing warmed up Adam Carolla material. It's just warm it over.
Maybe
he's gonna make it his own.
Make it funny.
Thursday night will be Adam Carolla material delivered by Kevin Neal.
Made funny.
Please. No,
and entertaining.
Here's the thing: at the without sounding modest, I don't think a guy in the superhero fat guy. I don't look at his material. I mean, it's just we're just talking amongst friends,
right?
And
right.
then if you want to use it, go ahead.
But this is
it.
Where the most material these radio shows where you sit and talk for a couple hours. That's where a lot of material comes up.
That's right.
You know, I try to come up with stuff at home with a newspaper, and it's nothing.
Mm. No, you got to talk it out. But then we ruin it by not writing anything down.
I was going to say, if we were disciplined, you'd write some of this down. You'd have an encyclopedia of this stuff.
I'd have
now.
Some good comedy by now. Instead, I got nothing. All right.
Drew, what is it? Why do I breathe so heavily?
You're 50.
The sighing?
Getting old.
Yeah.
It's all I talk about
oxygen.
Children.
Yeah.
You know, it's I think it's anxiety.
You're in good shape.
I am, but it's emotionally, it's anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin's tough. It's tough. It's a tough life. It really is. But look at it this way. You haven't really had to work for like 20 years, right?
No, I haven't.
Well, SNL must have been tough work. No?
Yeah.
Really?
No, it was tough.
It was hard, right? And doing the news had to be
that's
work,
yeah.
You know, by the time I started doing the news, I was on the show for 4 years, 5 years, you know.
So you just...
But yeah, but the thing is, the first couple of years was hard because you put a lot of pressure on yourself to come up with something each week. You know, if you didn't, you'd kind of feel like you were kind of a loser, you know.
Right.
But then after a while, you thought, man, I'm not going to last if I keep putting this much pressure on myself. So I just started pacing myself and, you know, it became a very relaxing job.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, the news sort of hanging over your head each week, that sort of deadline.
Did you write the news yourself?
That was, I participated a lot. I would, Wednesday I get about 4 or 5 papers. I start on Wednesday. And then I would, you know, read those at the end of the day or during the day and try to come up with material. I tried everything. You know, I'd get a glass of brandy, you know.
Sure.
The other
before
SNL...
the internet, too, really, sort of. It's
yeah.
Like you can't sit at a computer and just have all these things fly at you.
The other SNL alumni we've talked to always complained about, oh, it's so stressful, and they're working hard and coming up with stuff. And no?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's as hard as
I guess the untalented ones. We've only talked to untalented folk before.
Yeah. It's as hard as you make it, you know.
He's not broken our streak, by the way.
God.
Oh, no, I get him.
See, I'm telling you, you should do stand-up.
He's a dear friend.
Funny stuff.
Dear.
You know, it was hard, yeah, but it wasn't that hard. You know, of course, you know.
I like when the actors get up there and go, you know, what people think we're courageous, people think our jobs are. The guys who work hard are the firemen, and the guys who go in every day and they support their friends. It's a way of kissing ass and being a blowhard simultaneously.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to kiss ass, to give praise, and to be a blowhard. It's right up there with what keeps me grounded. Let me explain what keeps me grounded. Doesn't that make you an a-hole? You explaining that you need grounding?
And what is it with the award shows? You know, I could never understand, though. I was never, you know, nominated for anything except an Emmy once, but there's something about getting something that's shiny.
Yeah,
you know, like a trophy. The people, since you were a kid, you just it makes you feel good, I guess. You know, it's a shiny thing you could put on your mantelpiece.
Even the BS participation trophy they give the kids for just showing up is still exciting for them, which they need to do away with. But that everything except for the most improved. Most Improved is a real slap in the nuts for a 13-year-old. Yeah. That's sort of, hey, you sucked, and now you don't suck quite as much.
Yeah.
So here you go.
You worked hard.
Yeah.
Didn't come that far, but you improved a little bit. You know. We'll give you a little star.
Right. Yeah, you went from blowing to sucking, essentially, in the course of about 9 weeks. So here you go. Drew, ever get any trophies?
Yeah.
What? Give me...
Most Improved.
Oh, really? I did get one of those, too.
But I would go from totally sucking to, like, captain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I would see it as sort of a personal, you know, goal. I'd have to get good.
We got
to
take some calls. You know I don't like to brag.
I know.
But I've gotten, in my day, I've gotten a best all-around offensive and defensive player. I got the All-Valley trophy. Yeah. You know best trophy I ever got? After a bowl game, the other team voting and giving the defensive player of the game to me. That's right after the game. That's the best one.
That's nice.
It was a cup, and I used it for a kicking tee later on and broke it.
Of course.
Yeah, very sad. But and Kevin Nealon over here, we don't have time to talk about because it's not about me, but played college quarterback.
Really?
Absolutely.
Where?
Fairfield University.
Wow.
MVP, nominated All-American. If you want to start talking about trophies.
Wow, that's awesome.
Did you play?
Yeah.
Fairfield, Connecticut?
Fairfield University, yeah.
We talked about this, Kevin and I, once.
Wow, that's
I took
awesome.
A night course so I could play football at this college.
Yeah, you play quarterback, too.
It's huge.
Well, the regular quarterback got hurt, so I slipped right in there.
Well, that's what Tom Brady started in the Super Bowl in a few days.
The difference between that is I hurt this quarterback.
Oh, yeah. You cut his
brake
lines?
That was part of my plan, yeah.
Kelly?
Hi.
You're, what are you, 16? What's going on?
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah, I lost my virginity a month ago.
Kelly, where's Brisbane?
Oh, it's right next to San Francisco.
Okay.
It's in Australia, isn't it?
That's what I thought, too.
That's Brisbane.
Yeah, I lost my virginity a month ago, and I've had an irregular period since, and I've never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had it for 3 days, and then it stopped for 10 days, and then I got it again.
Uh-oh.
I get it for, like, 8 days.
Could you be pregnant?
Yeah, well, I told that to my mom, and she said that that's what happened to her when she was pregnant with a miscarriage.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
It was like...
I wish I was there for that conversation.
What?
Must have been,
Hallmark moment.
A Hallmark commercial, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was where it got stuck in the fallopian tube, so I was wondering if that could possibly be what's happening to me right now.
Yes. Bleeding in the first trimester, the first 3 months of pregnancy, if there's pelvic pain, abdominal pain, should be considered a tubal pregnancy until proven otherwise.
Plus, your family has a rich tradition
of tubal dysfunction, which there is an inheritable version of that, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the deal. You need to find out whether you're pregnant or not.
Well, I took an at-home test.
Yeah?
But it turned up negative, and I was wondering if those turned up negative, like if that would show.
Yes. If you had a tubal pregnancy, it would be positive.
Oh, okay.
So you're not pregnant.
Can you take ectopic pregnancy? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Can you take one of those at-home tests on the internet? Or is that something you got to put inside of you?
You got to pee on the keyboard.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. If you're willing to do that, they can do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Is your dad around?
No. Well, yeah, he lives with me. Well, I live with my grandma. And
Don't have him get on the phone.
Where's your mom?
She's at home, but I'm at my grandma's right now.
Why?
I live with my grandma like half of the week and with my parents another half of the week.
Why?
To go to a better high school.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Finally, a legitimate reason to live with the grandma.
All right.
Better homeschool.
Yeah. Hey, Kelly?
Uh-huh.
All right, take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.
Use condoms, huh? Frozen condoms, got it?
Well, we did, but, like, I don't remember the end of the night because I was really drunk.
Okay, yeah, as long as you were juiced.
And if you have alcoholism in your family and you're having blackouts already, that can be a sign of the evolving disease of alcoholism.
All right. Just shush up, Drew. Don't worry about the break. Dan?
Yeah, hey, Adam and Drew. I called a few weeks ago. I'm bisexual.
Right.
But I'm meeting my girlfriend's parents this weekend, and their parents are extremely religious. Yeah. And I am atheist, don't believe in God, I can't stand him.
Can't stand God, huh?
Mm-hmm. Should I tell them?
Hold on a second. I would argue if he doesn't exist, how can you dislike him?
Exactly.
Okay, hold on a second, Dan. Dan's going to make an ass of himself in front of his new potential parent.
One way or another.
We'll take a quick break. Kevin Nealon here, going to be at the Bray Improv this week and this weekend, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's the Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kevin Nealon is here tonight.
Hey, everybody.
Dear, dear friend, Kevin Nealon. You can also hear Kevin doing his work on Crank Anchors, by the way, which I don't plug enough.
That is a fun show.
Comedy Central, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, I do believe. And yes, Drew.
I was just watching one that Sarah did the other night, and man, she just keeps going.
Yeah, which one? Hadassah Gooberman?
She was talking to the perfume counter at a Macy's or something, and somebody had sprayed somebody's vagina.
Yes.
Yeah.
She likes that vagina part.
Yeah.
That's her favorite part, Sarah Silverman.
But she keeps going. She doesn't stop.
Very funny and dear, dear friend, by the way.
If you call her on the phone, her answering machine answers, it always, she says something about that.
About her private parts. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a hilarious outgoing message myself, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew knows it well.
You got it, Anderson, there?
Yeah, Anderson. And I change it about every...
You've never changed it.
It's been 8 years.
Yeah, that's my point.
I could change it.
Where is it, Anderson?
Anderson, I'll find it.
There it is.
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
Same one.
Yeah, I feel like an asshole laughing at my own, material. But if it's funny, it's funny.
But that's a good one. I mean, some people make you sit through, 3 minutes of, that what they think is funny. And it's the only time to, perform.
Here's the ones I get pissed at. I get pissed at the one where you're calling the guy. The guy has his wife leave the outgoing message and says, "We're not home," and leaves no names.
Yeah.
So it's very unclear as to whether now...
is he getting the message? Is she going to scream?
Gary
is it the right number?
Gary Delabat, the Howard Stern's producer, does that thing where his wife says, "Hi, we're not home," and you hang up. Now, if you haven't called him before, it's sort of you hang up. And then you call back and you hear it again as if hearing the woman again is going to get you any closer to the truth. But then it's weird because you're thinking, they didn't say me and Gary aren't home. It's just we're not home. It's a female voice. It's not the person's voice you called for. And you have no idea. And I understand why people do it. They want a certain... Here's the part that's tough. Here's what I'm saying. Yes, here's what I want to say. You can't be sort of secretive and... try to get yourself out there at the same time. When you call people and you go, I'm not sure. Do I have the right number? Is this, what number is this? And they go, what number did you call? It's like,
nobody wants to give up anything.
I could hang up and call you back right now for the once a minute for the rest of your life before you killed yourself. Don't F with me. It's sort of like, I'm going to get an answering machine. I'm going to say we're not home, but I'm not going to say our name. Because that's going to push it too far. Just listen, everyone, put your goddamn name on the thing so we know who you are.
The worst is when somebody leaves a message on you that you don't know, like a telemarketer.
Yes.
I got one of those once. I came back and this guy says, "Hey, Mike Reese, I got some good news for you. Why don't you call?" So I said, "I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to really lay into him, never to leave a message." So I call him up and you know, some woman answered. I said, I'm calling from Mike Reese. I can take a call. Oh. You know.
There you go.
I said,
No.
Mike Reese called me. He said to call him back. He left me his phone number. Okay, well, Mike is away from his desk right now. Well, okay, when can I call him back? When's a good time? Well, he's not coming back to his desk. Oh. What do you mean he's not coming? Where can I reach him? Well, you can't reach him. I said, no, I got to reach him. He said he's got some good news for me. I could use some good news right about now. And then finally I got fed up and said, don't ever call my machine again or fax me stuff.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, I laid into him good, huh?
Yeah. Retribution. You got him.
Yeah. Here's how I lay into somebody, because I hate confrontation. I'll start off like, hey, when you get a chance, can I talk to you? I got a little bone to pick with you. That's it, man. And then I settle down a little bit.
All right, you ready to go back to phones? Oh, let me just say this about this week. We got the girls of the Lingerie Bowl in here tomorrow night. So look forward to some some insights into life. There's going to be some doors opening up, a few people emotionally.
Lingerie Bowl is a philosophical society, a little debate society.
It's a very serious competitive game that is played in bra and panties.
Okay.
Where is this?
Halftime of the football game. I guess they're playing at the L.A. Coliseum. Who knows? It's going on. It's like a pay-per-view that's going on in the...
Ron Jeremy must be involved.
Halfway at halftime of the Super Bowl. But the other... Now, speaking of the Super Bowl, and things are a little bit up in the air.
Yeah.
But Jeff Probst was going to come in here tomorrow night. Thursday night from Survivor. I love that show. Evidently, he's a fan of this show. And I'm going to the Super Bowl Thursday with the Kimmel Show. And David Alan Greer, Dag, or my main man, as I know him, is going to sit in for me.
Oh, he is?
He left an angry message on my home machine. But
saying what?
Saying he would, but he wanted to make sure you were here.
Okay.
He's a real diva, that guy, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not about him. Well, I always think he's kidding, but turns out he is a diva. So the thing about it is he wanted to make sure you're here. He's like, is Dr. Drew going to be there? Is Dr. Drew's not going to be on? He doesn't want to get stuck with anyone.
Right.
So he's got it bad for you, Drew.
No, I like Dave. He's great.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Dear friend.
But a serious diva. So and talk about emotional issues.
You know what?
Neyland is quietly crazy, but David Alan Greer.
Neyland is not crazy. If you're talking about Dag, Kevin, Neyland does not register on the crazy scale.
Okay, you're good.
But
then.
I'm one of these guys that'll just explode one day and just about a hole like Maul.
And no one will be surprised.
No, I'm scared.
Right.
But Dag, when you're not here, mm-hmm. much better, okay. much better behaves.
Well, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Total different guy.
Said he was on, just wanted to make sure
you tell Ann? Lauren?
I just called, we'll get into them. Right. I called him back, left a message. So
that's cool.
Fine. So we're good. All right. And then Greg Probst, Jeff Probst. Greg Probst is a comedian. It always drives me nuts. Jeff, I think we're going to reschedule because he wants to come in when I'm in.
Oh, so he's not going to come at all, just me and Dag.
I think it'll be just you
That's
and Dag.
That's fine.
Good
That's
enough. Fine. All right? You don't need some guy with a chiseled features and a choker getting in the middle of your Jag with Dag, right?
Yeah. Jag with Dag.
Be a good
That's
show.
What I call the show from now on.
Dan?
Yeah, and I was wondering if at the end of the question, if I could battle Anderson in sound effects. I extract sound effects from movies, and I could probably beat him.
All right. I don't know how you declare a winner in sound effects, but...
What's the question?
Go ahead.
I'm bisexual.
You hate God.
I am.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Dan is 18. He's bi.
Yeah. And my girlfriend's black. She's not from this country. And we're going to meet her parents on Saturday this weekend.
There are some blacks from this country, though, aren't there?
Yeah, I know that. But she's, she's foreign, and her parents are Muslim. And if it ever came up to believing in God, what should I just say? I believe in God just for the fact, or just...
Well, in a way, you're almost more accessible being atheistic than being part of the evil empire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's true.
At least there's the possibility of just bringing you on board as opposed to talking you out of something.
But they would rather have me be Christian than be atheist. They would rather see...
I don't know that. You don't know that's true.
Okay. Hey, listen, Dan. Here's the whole thing. You're effed up and you're angry.
My dad was mainly part of it.
I remember you talked about his dad last time he called.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was busy. He wanted to tell his dad about his bisexuality.
I wanted to tell my mom. I didn't know if I should tell my mom or not. And I wanted to know if I was bisexual because of the pornography he had.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And let's not blame porn. Such an easy scapegoat, my beloved porn. You know what I mean?
We can blame it.
Many things fall into porn's lap that... I don't have to tell you what can fall into porn's lap that it doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
Let's not give it a bad rap. Hey, give porn a break.
Okay.
Or incredible edible porn. I got to work that out. The point is you're angry, so you're going to get yourself into situations that...
allow them to act that out.
Yeah, you get confrontational.
Yeah.
You want to fly under... This is, by the way... And we'll get back to Dan in a second. But these are the a-holes who get in the bar fight every other week. And every time it's
magic
the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I went in
guy.
There, mind my own business. I'm looking down. I'm not bothering anybody. And some a-hole calls me a sea-sucker.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we got to throw down. But why it's the same guy? And how come everyone else magically goes 26 years in between physical confrontations and you don't go 8 hours?
Right.
What are you looking for? But it's never them. I'm not looking for trouble.
Right.
Yeah, you find it. So you find whatever you're looking for. Dan, if I went over to their house, they wouldn't know I was an atheist. If Dan goes over to the house, they're going to know about it.
Well, here's one of the things he can do by creating chaos in this relationship is continue on the bye-bye route.
Yes.
And bye-bye to the girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend knows that I'm bi, and she has no problem with that. But
I'm just saying that you can sort of create your own future by sabotaging this relationship. And
yeah, well,
then look back and go, oh, chicks, that never works out. I can never have that. Now I'm going to stick with guys.
Well, I've had a steady relationship right now, and I've never done drugs. I've never gotten in a fight. My father was kind of violent, but I managed to stay away from the drugs and the fighting from the get-go because my mom pretty much told me that it won't happen in the household, as in I wouldn't live there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Let's get to the sound effect.
Yeah, okay. I got it all lined up, and you ready to go?
You know what, though? I'm not feeling anything like this. Right? I don't even know where I am right now, guys.
Anderson,
what do you got? What's the matter?
Anderson,
oh, ready?
No, hold on. No, relax, dude. Dan.
Hold on, Dan. Anderson has full-blown AIDS.
No, I have full-blown HIV.
That's what I heard. I know we're supposed to talk about it, but...
What do you have there?
No,
have?
I've been at camp all weekend, and it's been a tough weekend, and
AIDS
very
camp.
Tired.
You've been sick, or you've been tired? You're tired?
No, I'm like 3 hours of sleep the last 5 nights.
What kind of camp?
Rape.
He goes to a cancer.
It's camp good times. Camp Ronald McDonald for good times.
Kids for kids with cancer. Okay. So.
Takes kids in. Takes care of them.
It's good times. It's good times, Adam. My name is Ace there. It's very strange. And I think about June. That makes me sick.
Make some lanyards.
When do you don't sleep
at night?
All
right, but listen. You know this Dan. He's nothing. Dan.
All right, work me up, man.
All right.
He's doing it on his own. He's such a geek.
Dan, what do you got for us?
Oh, I got an elephant. I got Bugs Bunny. I got Godfather.
All right, I'll tell you what, Dan.
Yeah.
Give it your best.
Dan, I'll tell you what we'll do.
All right.
Anyone who listens to the show with any regularity knows that Engineer Anderson is a wizard at sliding in.
Well, I got him all lined up.
Quiet down, jack off. A very apropos sound effect, just when the time is right.
I can't wait to hear your father.
I know. I hope I have a kid. I hope I have a boy so I can call him Jagoff. Because girl's got to be, you shut up, little Jackalina. Oh, Christ. That didn't work. All right. So, Dan.
Yeah.
We're going to take another call. Okay. Anderson, you just hang back. We're going to take another call, and Dan can slide in his apropos sound effects. Yes?
All right.
Anderson, who do you want to talk to?
Michelle.
Let me push it up, though, because you guys will have
to. All right. Go ahead. Michelle's
on four.
Line four. Ovarian cancer.
Michelle.
Hi. I just want to say I saw you guys at Stanford, I think it was last week, and I really liked that. You guys did a great job. I'm a longtime listener, and my question is actually about ovarian cancer. My aunt has had ovarian cancer, I think, for like a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And
Dan, anything?
Shut up!
What can you do this?
I'll be back.
Michelle, hold on a second.
All right. I'm sorry. I know it's very tragic.
See, now that sounds like that was me doing it. No, that wasn't me.
You didn't do the shut up.
Why did the shut up? I don't need to hear Dan yet.
Who is the shut up
listen.
Guy?
That's your boy, Adam
Sandler. De Niro?
Oh.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
We're gonna need you to chime in with your sound effects. Now, Anderson, as tempting as it may be, you got to hang back so that we know everything is coming from Dan.
No, let's take it, let's let Dan do the next.
Why don't
call.
We
let
not me... do the ovarian cancer? Why don't we do like Matt on six?
No, how about you let me answer Michelle, and then we'll do Matt, okay?
Well, okay, if you kill Joyce, we don't all think right. cancer's funny.
So what is your question about it, Michelle?
Well, my aunt has had ovarian cancer for about a year and a half, and it's gotten pretty bad. And
right, well, what's your question?
I was just wondering, nobody in my family has had that before. I was wondering, you know, is it possible for, you know, that just to be a random thing, or is it?
Yes, it is certainly. Of course, all cancers can be random.
It's not like like I have a higher chance of getting it now.
Well, certain ovarian, there are certain groups that may have a slightly higher risk of ovarian, breast, and possibly even colon cancer. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of genes, the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, mm-hmm. that are rather prevalent in Ashkenazi Jews that may increase your risk of colon, breast, or ovarian cancer.
What's an Ashkenazi Jew?
It's the other, not a Sephardic Jew.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You ever been out with a girl who's got BRCA2?
I enjoyed some of their programming when I was pond.
Are you Jewish or descent, summer. Michelle?
No, I'm not Jewish, but my family's Polish. My aunt actually.
See, you can get tested for this gene if you want to, and you know, genetic testing is available, and just to see what your risks are. But this is ovarian cancer is a relatively common cancer. It is random in most cases, but a few, you know, a limited percent, 10% or so, may be this genetically linked phenomenon.
Okay, and I have another.
And it's, by the way, a very highly treatable cancer.
Okay. I have another quick question about something. Have you heard of anything called paraneoplastic syndrome?
Yep, I see it all the time.
That's what they're telling us that she has. And
she got arthritis or something, or rashes, or
It's like, I think they thought maybe it was connected to the cancer, but it's like, you know, she's got weakness in her limbs and her nervous system.
Right, so her nervous system, what they get is an attack, their immune system attacks other parts of the system. Paraneoplastic just means alongside of the cancer. Yeah. And so the cancer is overloading her system, and her immune system starts going crazy and attacking her nerves, attacking her joints, attacking her skin. And in this case, it sounds like it's attacking the muscles and nerves. Hey,
life is great, isn't it?
Hey, that's why you got to have kids. Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
It's good of you to look after your aunt this way, by the way, and be this concerned.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
Here's the deal with ovarian cancer. Keep at it. You can many times get a cure. Just keep slugging.
All right. Let's get Dan back involved with who's our next call going to be?
5 and 6.
5 and 6? All right. And again, Dan, you got to make with the sound effects, please.
I'm already. I am the smartest man alive. All right.
But Matt, again, you got to slide them in where it's appropriate. Yeah, appropriate.
Oh, okay. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
All right,
Matt.
What's the problem, Matt?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
I want to tell you first that Adam, you're God.
Thank you.
That's good.
Drew's passionate man.
Yes, he is.
And this Mr. Subliminal over there, I appreciate everything you've done. Actually, my ex-girlfriend called last night. I'm the Jew that blows the shofar when he's getting oral. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, I was explaining that you should be blowing the shofar when
we've got to play for Kevin. Excuse me a second, Matt. The subliminal message lady we did with Tom Arnold here. The Holocaust lady.
Oh, that one.
We were calling upon your skills, and that Kevin.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
We just got Canada back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Canada canceled us because we played that.
Let's describe it.
F Canada. We'll
did
play
they really?
That. Yeah. Yeah. We lose a state every once in a while, like we lost Hawaii recently. And we lose a country every once in a while, too.
Here's the deal. I don't want to play it, but if Dan's got it, feel free, Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Do you have it?
Yeah, it's all ready. It's all lined up, and it's going to go in a row, so it's going to be about 50 seconds.
No.
Hold on a second.
Dan, look, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Anderson. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Anderson.
Or I can play normal.
Shut up.
What?
Anderson, you need to play the Holocaust thing. You don't need to play it this second. It just we'll deal with Matt over here for a second, and then we'll play it. Gotcha. Matt.
Yes. Okay, the reason I'm calling is because my ejaculate tends to be on the clearer side and not the whiter side, like I've seen in like porns or people have told me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have to do a sperm count.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The porn, it's all liquid paper in porn, anyway, I found out.
But I also had, like, ex-girlfriend told me, like, other people's are whiter.
Yes, some people are clear, some people are chunky, some people are thick, some people are thin, some people are clear. It has nothing to do that I'm aware of with sperm count.
All right.
I'll tell you what it does sometime. Maybe in this way it could correlate. That the clearer, thinner tends to be more associated with frequent clearing of the pipes. And to the extent that you may not give yourself a chance to build a good sperm count if you're jacking off four times a day, that may be associated
now,
with low sperm count.
What about liquid paper? Can that be clear or chunky or milky?
Different, I think they have orange and white. And
they have different colors.
Like peach, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't believe, by the way, I whipped out some liquid paper and actually used it the other day, and I thought, oh, really? I'm still using this stuff. Like, what year is this?
Were you with a girl?
yeah, I couldn't quite finish my initials. So,
oh, my God.
That's my thing. That's my bag. Sure. Call me the decorator.
Your carrying card. Your calling card.
That's my calling card. I was thinking of my calling card actually being my calling card. Like as a murderer, my calling card would be to leave a calling card.
Yeah.
It'd be confusing to the police because, like, what's his calling card?
They'd never believe it.
It's his calling card. It'd be like a who's on first kind of thing. I know. What is it? It's his calling card. I know. What does he do? Slash his initials into? No, it's a calling card.
Yeah.
Actually, at least one. Yeah. All right. Now I don't feel like hearing that stupid Holocaust call, but do you want to hear that?
No.
All right. Here's what happened. See, because it's bad to bring stuff up and then...
just was tell it, because it's a funny story.
I'll do it as quickly as I can. And this is the legendary subliminal man that Kevin Nealon developed. I don't know if you developed that on Saturday Night Live, for Saturday Night Live, or you had that before in your bag of goods?
That was... I picked that up from a guy named Ed Peck, who was a character actor in Hollywood when he first came out here. He used to do shows like the Vern Shirley and those kind of things. He had a really deep voice who talked like that. He'd do a thing called tagging, you know, where he'd be talking to a waitress, and he'd fit in these little profanities here and there. And she wouldn't know it, but he would tell me, you know, he was going to do it. Like, you know, well, I'll tell you what, sweetheart, I think I'll have the French fries, bitch. And oh, and you'll also give me the hamburger, whore. And I don't think I'll take any ketchup with that.
So that was the impetus for Subliminal Man. Well, she was a phone sex operator called the show, and her thing was the guys were getting off too fast.
So she wasn't making any money.
So I said, quite honestly, the problem with you phone sex operators is you do a little too good a job, meaning the people call in and they go, what do you look like? Meanwhile, it's a fat broad who's got her baby on her knee and she's ironing. Their old man's long johns, but she's like, I'm 6'2", I'm blonde.
Or it's an old man in his long johns.
And he's saying, I'm 6'2", and I'm blonde, and I'm a 34 double D, and I'm, and the whole thing, and I'm, and the guy's like,
How's that go again?
Here's what these women should be saying. They should be saying, Look, I ain't no prize. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a Victoria's Secret model. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing phone sex for a living. But I'm a good, solid 7. And because of low self-esteem, I got into this business. And I'll tell you, I can beat a guy off street style. I can suck a golf ball through a beaker. I mean, through a piece of Bunsen burner hose. I'm amazing. That would get me off. That I could buy. It's this the super fantasy stuff. But anyway, guy's getting off too fast. So I said, look, why don't you subliminally work in some negative stuff to stop them in their masturbation? Yeah. So you go like, oh, baby, you are so hot, cancer. And
car accident.
Right. And so at a certain point, I said, so it was like... Oh, I am so wet, Holocaust. She didn't know what subliminal was.
So we had to explain that.
And she didn't know what the Holocaust was.
Adam goes, work in the Holocaust. She's like, yeah, but we're like, Holocaust? She's like, no.
Yeah.
What?
So I said, look, let's do it. I said, look, just work in the Holocaust.
You explained what the Holocaust
subliminally
was. Explain what it was.
The Holocaust,
a horrible, tragic, awful experience that we want you to work into this conversation.
Work it in and do it subliminally.
This, by the way, is a subliminal message the Canadians missed.
Right. Canadians got pissed when we did this. But anyway, the point
is... Why did the Canadians get pissed?
Because
we're making light of the Holocaust.
Yeah. and probably they secretly feel bad for not making as big a contribution toward World War II as maybe they could have. Let's be honest.
We were pointing out these. We were trying to think of the most horrible thing we could think of, and the Holocaust came to mind.
They got a puck on their shoulder.
All right, let's just play it for God's sakes.
No, let's play.
It's too late. We've been talking about it for 5 minutes, and it feels like censorship at this point.
No, I've already explained it, though.
That wasn't funny, though.
You know, it's like when.
Hey, Anderson.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Let's finish it. You go.
Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
That was her attempt to work in a subliminal message about something which she clearly didn't understand.
Getting all hot thinking about the Holocaust. Oh, boy.
You got to hear the setup. Otherwise,
little girls. All right. Kevin Nealon is here tonight. He's going to be the big fan, by the way, Engineer Anderson. Loves Nealon's work. Going to be at the Brea Improv. Anderson may go down there and catch him, by the way, because he has been known to take it on the road and catch an act or two at the Brea Improv. Yes?
Yeah, he's there Wednesday through Saturday. I just checked the site.
You're gonna go see him?
Well, I'll be there, Saturday, buddy. Okay. I'll be on your knees.
Anderson needs to stop talking. It's hurting my throat.
Yeah. All right, Anderson, stop talking. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kevin Nealon is here tonight. What kind of name is Nealon?
That's Jewish. Mm-hmm. No, it's Irish. It's part Irish. And it comes from O'Neill. And I went back to Ireland a couple years ago to where my grandfather's from, and it's a little town called Feakle. I swear to God, it's in County Clare. And
it's how do they spell it?
It's spelled differently, but it smells the same. It's F-E-A-K-L-E, I think.
Wow. And are they, they're speaking English over there. They got the Feakle matter, or is that something they, you know what I mean?
Strange enough, that's what they call their newspaper locally.
Fecal matter?
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching, some history show, and the first guy who stole, like, a MiG-15 and flew it from Korea into the United States airspace or something, defected, essentially. It was a Korean pilot named, like, Sum Cumsock. And it was always, like, laughing like a maniac sitting there drunk at night, frozen on TiVo, seeing Cumsock, you know, Mr. Cumsock. But I realize that that's a different language.
Yeah,
he's not laughed at in his own native.
You're shocked.
Korea.
Yeah,
Cumsock. But Fecal, they got that's English
it's
over
close
there.
Close to English. Yes.
Yeah. They got fecal. Would they call it fecal matter? If you went over there and said, "There's fecal matter in my brow," would they know what you meant?
They'd applaud.
I think they would probably not know what you meant.
Okay. What if I said I stepped in some fecal matter? Would they?
They'd probably get the idea.
Okay. All right.
Especially if it was in fecal.
Probably best you don't point it out then, right?
Yeah. Some things they don't talk about.
Maria? Yeah. You're 19?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
She's calling from the rover.
Wow.
We can't hear you, Maria. Talk right into the phone.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Turn down your vibrator.
Put her on hold. That we landed another. I was thinking about it today. We landed another one of those rovers, and it's all, hey, it's great. We're landing a rover, but you know Mars has a strong gravitational pull, and they're not getting off the planet. The rovers,
no,
and the rovers are like $400 million or something. And I thought it's really like taking like 1,500 of Puff Daddy's Bentleys. And just throwing them into a mine shaft. Think about it. It's like, hey, it's great. We took a $400 million vehicle, and we're never going to see it again, everybody. That's it.
Well, you know, I haven't seen, you know, really the rover. The other one's called, I think, Opportunity.
Right.
But, you know, when the Hummers came out, the Humvees, they made a car after that, you know, the Hummer, which, you know, Schwarzenegger made popular. Now, I wonder if they'll do that with the rover and stuff, make a car after that, you know, like a...
Well, the Land Rover will probably take advantage of it and... Mars rover.
Opportunity.
The Opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
The VW Opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like VW, it's got a passenger seat that reclines and full for, like, date raping. Like
the Ford Op.
The Ford Op. John?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's that?
Wow, John likes pot.
No, I don't like pot. Actually, I stopped smoking pot.
Yeah, well, you did like it.
What's that?
So anyways, dude, I was calling about salvia. My buddy was like, he wanted to do mushrooms, but he doesn't want to get into that, like, big of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And people were telling him, like, salvia is kind of like mushrooms.
What is salvia, Drew?
Salvia divinorum is a plant that has hallucinogenic properties. They're very powerful when it's smoked, particularly.
Mm.
We don't know the full effect. There's been some deaths reported from it. There's been brain damage reported from it. It's a poorly understood and considered dangerous drug.
Now, what about MDMA?
MDMA is ecstasy, and that's, you know, it's well known to call. I mean,
it's
I
not
with,
just ecstasy, though, is it?
Well, MDA is maybe what you're thinking of, which is a more powerful hallucinogenic related to MDMA.
MDMA is what I'm talking
MDMA
about.
MDMA is ecstasy. Yeah,
it's just that's what it is.
That's ecstasy. That's the name. That's the common name for MDMA is ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
and it is. Damages limbic area. All this stuff does, you know, similar kinds of things. The current research suggests that those things that make you feel super euphoric do that as a result of causing a sudden tremendous outflow of neurochemicals in the mood centers in the brain. The problem is those chemicals are used to being packaged very tightly in the cells, and when you release them, they turn to free radicals and destroy the cells. So when there's extra physiologic stimulation of the brain cells, the actual neurotransmitters become the devastating destructive force in the brain and kill brain cells and destroy, rip through big parts of the brain.
Yeah.
And I see them a few years later with chronic depressions and needing shock therapy and the whole
thing. But how many more cells will that kill than, like, say, a fifth of vodka?
Many, many millions more.
Yeah. Really, really. Yeah. Didn't therapists used to use that?
They did. It was used briefly, same with LSD, to try to break through stuff. And there are still people that advocate on its behalf, but it is so neurotoxic and so clearly damaging that the benefits are not outweighed by the risks.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
All righty there. Well, there you go, buddy. What do you want to do for a living when you're older?
I want to go into a crime scene investigation for the FBI.
No.
You got to have a lot of yellow tape for that.
Yeah, FBI is not going to be too happy with this history.
No,
they look at things pretty carefully.
Yeah.
I started collecting my yellow tape.
He's calling from Simi Valley, which is it's cop mecca over there. Mm-hmm. All right, good. All right, so listen, you want to get in the FBI. Don't do the hallucinogenic drugs.
Yeah.
All right,
good
buddy.
Time. Thanks a lot, man.
Good times. Yeah, I wonder if all these crime scene shows and stuff, they're all number one, all these CSI Miami and all this Vegas and all this stuff and all these FBI shows. There must be just, you know, 24 and all this. There must be a huge enrollment now. I mean, applications pouring in, right?
I would think, yeah.
I mean, like when Top Gun came out, everyone started, you know, running down to the recruiter's office wanting to be aviators. There must be the same thing with the enrollment, FBI agents and DEA and all that kind of stuff.
Also, it's you know, it should have been obvious those shows would be popular. You know, people would like those type of shows because, you know, even when you're a kid, you're going down the freeway, and if there's an accident on the other side, people rubberneck, they stop, and they want to see what's going on.
Right.
You know, and that's what these shows are. It's just, you know.
I'm hip, but I can never get over the fantasy part of it or the drama part of it. Like, I love all the real shows where they go in and they, you know, get the DNA and they get the fiber samples and all that and they investigate it and bring it back to the morgue and all that kind of stuff. I just can't buy the drama part. I also like the part where they exhume bodies 20 years after they went in the ground. They're always in perfect shape, by the way. And they're always surprised. But why are you surprised? Almost every time you open that casket, it's like, she was remarkable.
Yeah. Her skin was still intact.
Yeah.
Mummified.
Frank Efter said it was the best he's had.
How much do you need to pay to do that job, to exhume somebody? And the smell?
Yeah. And just the part where you're digging the grave until you hit something.
Yeah.
Anytime, and you're not looking for treasure.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for treasure and you hit something, it's great. When you're pulling up a grave, it's a bad thing. But just the whole thing of, we got to go back and grab Granny. We're going to get some flesh samples, see if we find a little arsenic in her lungs or something. And they always just pop them. Oh, that's got to be rough. And then how about the part where you ain't working from the casket? Boys, we got to get her on the slab. Work her open.
I think they could avoid a lot of that if they got the guy, the suspect, who they think may have poisoned her or whatever, and had him stand near the grave as you were digging. And if he started sweating a lot, then you could stop digging and say, okay, this guy did it.
This Kevin brings up a very good point. And
grounds for your test, your instrument.
Well, I heard him talking about this on the news, and it's sort of what you were talking about, Drew, which is, here's what I like. We've had the polygraph test for 40 years, maybe 50. Who the hell knows?
And you can't use it, of course.
You can't use it. But we've had a lie detector test, if you think about it, long before computers and all cell phones and the push-button phones and just about anything. We've had these lie detector tests. And I don't know what they are, but they're probably 95% accurate, which to me is good enough, but not good enough in the eyes of the law and the court and all that. I understand that. But now with computers and scientists and all that, what we know about the brain now that we didn't know so many years ago, if we all just focused, if the world scientists focus and neurosurgeons just focused on a device, I don't know if it read retina, if it did retina scanning, whatever it did, hook a couple electrodes up, and it's a lie detector, and it's irrefutable. That's it. Science is now caught up to the human mind, and if you're lying, you're lying. And we've tested a million people, and every one of them, hey, it's come out conclusively.
Kind of like a DNA lie detector.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right. Now, no more court battle. Michael Jackson, gone. Robert Blake, gone. OJ, gone. It's all gone. It's no more. It's no more change of venue. It's no more court. Is it the stenographer's out of business? The courtroom sketch artist out of business, which has got to be the greatest gig in the world, which is we have cameras. We're not allowing them in the courtroom, but you go ahead and draw. Yeah. And then what we'll do is we'll hold your drawing up to a camera. There you go. Yeah. Really?
And do you think they make the people stay in the courtroom later if he can't finish it? You gotta just stay there for a
little bit. Hold that pose.
Can I get the witness for 1 second here?
That's it. Just think about that concept for a second. By the way, that's why I can't get high on mushrooms anymore, which is no cameras in the courtroom. A guy who draws so good, it's like having the camera in a courtroom, and then he holds it up to the camera once he gets out of the courtroom. Really? How about we just let the guy with the camera in at a certain point? Okay, but the point is all gone. All gone. And these fiascos, these millions and millions of dollars, and plus these horrible, wretched attorneys laughing all the way to their Malibu mansions. It's all gone. It's all gone. You catch Robert Blake. You catch OJ, you catch Scott Peterson, whoever it is. Even if it's Senator, what's his name, with Chandra Levy, whatever it is, whoever it is, pow, you're in and out. You're in and out that afternoon. We all know. No speculation, no court reporters, no nothing. Whatever it is, we're done.
That would be nice.
It'd be nice. And they're talking about this technology now at the airport, which is, if you think about it, and think about this, we're trying to figure out all the possible ways somebody could hurt us using an aircraft, right? It's like, is he got a shoe bomb? Does he have a knife? Is he got a sharpened pencil he's going to stab somebody with? Like, is he bringing a knife? Is he bringing a bomb? Is he a madman? Is he going to open the hatch? What's he going to do? We're trying to screen it all out. Well, obviously, if it's a woman who claims to be pregnant, it's all TNT in there, it's going to be a little hard to work out every... And if a woman wants to shove two sticks of dynamite up her coos and get on an airplane, she's going to get away with it. Here's the new thing they're talking about now. It's this like retinal scan thing that just basically says, are you up to anything? And if you're up to anything, it registers.
That's good.
That's what you need, right? So instead of stripping down and spreading your cheeks and giving them your toenail clippers and all that kind of stuff, you just pull up. You pop your head into this thing, and somebody, and it tells you, is this guy getting?
And they just screen those people.
Does he have business? Oh no, just screen everyone. Everyone just pop.
No, but I mean, the people that are up to something doesn't mean they're guilty. I said they're just up to something. Now we screen you carefully.
Look, do you have business in New York, or are you trying to blow the plane up?
Yeah.
And then we'll pull you out. Fine, we don't have to strip down.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm up for that. And then, God willing, it will become culturally entrenched, and we'll move it to the courtroom. God willing.
I've heard something about the eye scans thing, but is that true? They're going to start doing that?
They're getting to that point, and that's fine because the part, and I'm sure, you know, for every measure, you know, somebody came up with a spear 2 million years ago, and somebody invented a shield 10 minutes later, and we just kept escalating that way. Someone's going to come up with some sort of brain implant that shuts that off eventually. Hopefully the terrorist countries or wherever our enemies are aren't that capable. But the point is much better way to stop crime than to try to search them and imagine every possible way they might do some damage to us. And by the way, here's the deal. The righteous, nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm. If you're honest and have nothing up to nothing, relax.
And look, if you're OJ and you didn't kill Nicole and you're innocent, you should pray
that they have this
device. Yeah, you don't have to sit in the joint waiting for your hearing.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through all the rigmarole, the accusations.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
The eyes tell a lot.
Innocent people should pray that this exists. And you, guilty or guilty?
You know, thank when you. You like something, your pupils get bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to see if somebody's gay, mm-hmm. you just hold up a picture of a naked guy. You know,
I used
hold
to
it in front of, and if
ooh, Adam's get pupils. Bigger. Wow.
Like saucers, right? He's a tumescence mother, but yeah. All right. Wow. Kevin Nealon in here tonight. And by the way, I got a, this is my idea, this...
The eye scanner?
No, not the eye scanner, but the the advanced machine.
Quantum screen?
Yeah, yeah. It just, I just, can I just work on that? Just shut everything down? Really? All right. Well, Kevin Nealon, going to be at the Bray Improv. It's he's there now. Just leave now.
I'll be doing some stand-up comedy, Adam.
You leave, and he'll be there when you get there. All right.
I don't even know where Bray is.
You'll find it.
57.
Right. You follow the trail of 57? Jokes.
57 freeway.
We'll take a quick break.
I don't even know where 57 is.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kevin Nealon, dear friend.
Hey, everybody.
Dear friend. Kevin Nealon in tonight. You can find him on Crank Yankers, by the way. Fantastic
show.
You
also have a website, too, Adam.
Yeah, website.
Yeah, kevinnealon.com. I'll let you know where I'm going to be, et cetera.
He's going to be at the Bray Improv Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
Saturday. Doesn't say Sunday. Saturday. Good. You don't want to be doing that during the Super Bowl. Yeah. True.
That's right.
Good point.
Drew, don't... And by the way, Drew...
I'm going to watch the game.
Don't slap me in the face by showing up on Sunday night not watching the Super Bowl.
I'm watching the game.
I know, but you're very half-assed about it, very, very leisurely. Like, guys, Drew, did you watch Super Bowl every year? And you're like, who's in it?
No.
The blue guys.
I watched it last year pretty diligently.
Blue team. I saw some of it. I saw the first quarter.
No, I watched those games.
That one guy. You're like a chick describing a football game, Drew.
Last few years, I've been more into college football, that's all.
Where do you guys watch the game?
Not together.
He goes to every goddamn Super Bowl
parties.
No, he goes to the Super Bowl.
I go to the Super Bowl oftentimes, but I watch the games over at Jimmy's house.
You've been to like the last four Super Bowls.
Yeah, but Sunday football over at Jimmy's, he's got a big screen, and then I installed two flat screens next to the big screen that can be split. So it's not the picture-in-picture. They're split down the middle, so you watch five games.
This is like the Caesar's Palace sports room.
Yeah. It's like a sports book in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Big guys we don't know smoking cigars, us yelling down in front.
Pete Rose is there.
Pete's there with that crazy Peckerwood haircut he has, and a stupid rope gold chain bracelet. And oh my God, I saw that guy at a restaurant. Like he looks like a high schooler who won the lottery from Michigan. You know, it's just like wearing a bad like Gucci jumpsuit holding one of those man purses. By all accounts, he's a tremendous agent.
Every time I've seen him, it's been in a sports book.
Fantastic. Yeah. No gambling problem. Amanda.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
You're 15. You all right?
Yeah. Fine.
What's up? What's up, baby doll?
I was just wondering if there's like any... Well, I've been with this guy, Johnny, for like 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's been cheating on me because a bunch of my friends said they've talked to him and said that he was using me for sex.
Here's an interesting twist on the bringing the name up. Mm-hmm. This was not bringing the name up because it's bogus. This is bringing the name up because, goddamn, I'm going to get back at this guy. I want him to hear that I'm talking about him on the radio and that I know he's up to something. Right?
And here's the thing, by the way. Johnny is going to break your heart. He's going to cheat on you. John, probably not. Jonathan could be gay.
Yeah.
First of all, how do we know this is not a name that she's using instead of the real name?
Because we can feel it.
We know.
Let's ask her. I bet she's using a fake name.
For herself or for him?
No, for Johnny.
No, that's his name.
See, I told you.
No, she wants him to hear. She wants him to know that she's talking about it and she's on to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's bad.
Hey, Amanda?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So break up with him.
How old is he?
He's going to be 17.
All right, come on. There's a big age difference. Forget it.
Not a big one, but just break up.
Forget it. Listen, all you're going to learn that all guys are interested in having sex with you.
And
that's their
boys.
Primary motivation for being with you. That doesn't mean they're bad guys. It doesn't mean it's necessarily what they have to have in order to be in a relationship, but that's going to be their primary motivation.
Right.
A 17, 18-year-old, that's going to be their motivation. And your job is to sort of sort through the guys that are just interested in that and those that are interested in that and you in a relationship.
Well, I have another question. One of my best childhood guy friends, we've really gotten really close over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he said that he didn't want to get together right now because he was afraid of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not much. I think he's going to be 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get it right now because all you talk to him about is Johnny.
Yeah.
No, I don't talk to him about Johnny at all.
Okay.
But,
the reason he's your friend is he's attracted to you.
No. Listen, he's not into you.
No. I think he's giving a little bluff, a double negative.
He's not even 15 yet. Okay?
Yeah.
When you're not even 15 and you're hot for a chick, you're in. You're not doing that. I'm too busy right now beating off and doodling on a peachy foot.
But aren't you think maybe he's saying no, I couldn't do it right now. I'm really into my I couldn't do it right now just to see what she says. But I'd love to. Okay.
Do you think he likes you? Do you think he has liked you for the time you've known him?
Well, I've known him since we were like 5.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him for a really long time, but...
What's his name?
His name's Michael.
That's a fake name right there.
Kevin knows. He's got a crystal ball, and he was hit on the head with
it. All right, look, but you got to clarify what Michael's up to. I suspect the reason he's your friend is that he is attracted to you. If he is, and you open the door, he will fly through. If not, forget it. He's not
true. True. Let me crap on your point for just 1 second, as you know, I'm always right.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been friends since 5, though. So
I know.
They're sort of neighborhood people or whatever.
But he's stuck around.
Yeah, but sometimes that works that way. You stay in the same grade,
move
on, and your friends or whatever. So friends at age 5 does not mean he's hot for you necessarily. When a 14, 15-year-old guy all of a sudden befriends you, he has a crush on you.
Oh, yes.
That you got to know. Friends since 5 saying, I'm not really ready for a relationship right now, maybe telling you, hey, I'm really into you. Guy's been pining for a number of years.
Yeah.
That door opens.
He's in.
Pow. He's in. Thank you. Drew agrees?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Adam Genius? Yes, he is. Kevin Nealon. Funny, funny, dear friend. Going to be at the Bray Improv this weekend and a little bit before that. We'll be right back after this. Show, everybody. I want to thank dear friend Kevin Nealon for coming in tonight. Going to be at the Bray Improv for the next 100 years. Starting Wednesday and then
never leaving. You joke about that, but you're right.
Yeah. He's going to, I think I have to drag him off stage like Dick Shawn.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I had a good time tonight. Really looked forward to it and really met my expectations.
Easy, right?
Yeah, it's easy. You come in here, you're right off Venice Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet. Everybody's well behaved. You learn something. You go home with something.
He's going to hit with a shiv on the way out the door.
All right.
Kevin Nealon, everybody. The Lingerie Bowl Girls tomorrow night. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Well, I'll tell you what, sweetheart. I think I'll have the French fries, bitch. And don't you also give me the hamburger whore. And I don't think I'll take any ketchup with that. It's like...
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.